there, friends. This is Sarah Sewell, the Executive Director for the Down Syndrome Association of Central Oklahoma. Welcome back to DASCO Up for Discussion. This is our official podcast, and we are so glad you're here with us today for another episode that's all about connection, inclusion, and real conversations that matter. So instead of having Robin on to talk about relationships, we decided to switch it up and finish talking about the high school years, elementary through high school. So if you haven't listened yet, our last episode was over middle school. So today we're going to be talking about high school. And I have my coworker with me, Kathy.
Hi, I'm Kathy Trout, and I'm just joining again because Robin had a prior commitment, and we're gonna roll with it today. So, but before we jump in, I did want to remind everybody about the DASCO's Down Syndrome Festival and 5K that's coming up Saturday, September 27th at the Myriad Gardens in Oklahoma City. So whether you're a runner, walker, or you just want to come cheer everyone on or come out and celebrate all of our loved ones with Down Syndrome, it is such a fun day.
It really is, and it's one of my favorite days of the year, and we just want you to be a part of it. You can register at dsfestivaland5k.com and help us make the biggest event so far. We need to raise $250,000 to be successful at DASCO and continue our programs and resources. So now we're going to transition to talk about high school.
High school, what a fun time. It's a time filled with like new experiences. You make new friends. There's a whole lot of change. For students with Down syndrome, this can be even bigger.
And I just want to say that what we're talking about today, these are Kathy and I's experiences, and some others may have different experiences with high school or the school age years, but these are just the things that we've experienced with our loved ones. But you're going from 1 to 2 teachers in middle school to 6 or more. You're learning to navigate so many different things about big buildings, changing classes, managing lockers, and so it can be a little overwhelming for our loved ones. But we know, Kathy and I have experienced this, if we have the right supports for our loved one, it can also be a very exciting time and a chance for them to grow in their high school years and learn more than just the academic part.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The amount of growth that I have seen with Addie in each phase, like through elementary, then to middle school,
yes,
and then on to high school was, I mean, like, I can't even describe it because I think, oh, she might not ever get this. And all of a sudden she's doing that plus more, whatever it might be. Just remember some things that are important are to work with the school ahead of time. Everybody's already pretty familiar with how to do IEPs.
Right.
And I know sometimes they don't go as we hope they will or as we plan. But if you make sure to get your IEP set up, even if you have to do one at the end of the school year or before the school year starts again, that's a recommendation that I have. I always, or her IEP annual plan was in December, but we always met at the end of the year.
Same.
Just to go over how she did for the year and then to set the goals for the next year. And so not only just for academic, but also for job readiness and
right,
those DRS services that they qualify for. Those are things that are very important and need to be added to the IEP if they're not. Visiting the school before the first day is, again, we talked about that in middle school.
Yeah.
It's so helpful when you're transitioning to the next building or, you know, the next level. And even walking the schedule, it can help ease a lot of anxiety. Before we get started, we had some questions over.
Yeah, we love questions. Email them. We love them. We've never got questions about our podcast before, so that was kind of exciting. We got a question about our podcast.
That means somebody's listening.
Hey, listener out there, because I know we just probably have one, but listeners. So the question was. We mentioned things about language and behavior challenges, you know, any tips or tricks. You know, that's kind of when our loved ones start to use the word, you know, stupid, hate. They might even start recognizing physical features about people, and they might be seeing things like saying the word naked,
Or might be touching people inappropriately. Those kind of things start to happen more. And they do happen more in middle school.
Yeah.
By the time they reach high school, they're hopefully not doing that as much.
Just my experiences with this, you know, just the redirection, just telling Kirsten, like, we don't talk like that. That's not appropriate. And when she does do that, you know, making sure her teachers are aware, like, hey, I've noticed this behavior challenge, or she's been using these languages, and letting him address it, or he or her address it as well. Kirsten had a male teacher, that's why I said he, in middle school. And, you know, making sure we're all on the same page. And it's kind of like the toddler years, you know, that reinforcement constantly to redirect their behaviors. It's the same.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree. I think mostly the communication is important.
Yeah.
If something's happening at school, we want there to be a open line of communication between the teachers and the parent, because the quicker you can address something, the better. Sometimes it is better to ignore it, but usually with our kids, you need to address it and just very matter-of-factly explain why it's not appropriate or what the correct response is.
Right. Because they're literal thinkers, so they kind of always want to know the why behind it all, you know.
Right.
And maybe they're saying the word naked because they don't know what that really means.
Right. So, or they've heard it on the bus and they think it's funny, or they got a laugh from somebody when they said something inappropriate, and then that makes them say it more and more frequently and more often, or giggling about it. And so that's definitely something that you want. The quicker you can address it, the quicker the behavior will go away, from my experience.
Kirsten, after we kind of talked about it, she just started calling people out when they said it. So. But she likes to call people out. I think that's hilarious about her. But also, it's very true. Like, if someone was saying a bad word, she's like, you shouldn't say that, or that's bad. And, you know, she'd just be matter of fact about it. And then kind of made everybody pause for a moment, like, whoa, she just called me out. But yeah, I think it's no different than those toddler years when you're redirecting, you know. We don't say words like that, or that's inappropriate. And knowing what the behavior is,
right,
and then addressing it.
And it is also a good time to teach them more about, you know, remind them, if you haven't already gone over the anatomically correct
words
and
so
and
important.
Yes, and the expected behavior, that kind of stuff is just, here is what is expected. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the things that you know, it is not okay to, you know, touch a woman's breast at school, a teacher,
right,
of whoever. It's not okay. And you can also use the slang term too. Don't touch their boobs, because that, you know, that's my, and more explain, this is my personal body, this is their personal boundaries, nobody should be doing that to you, and you should not be doing that to anybody else. So pretty matter of factly on those kind of things. And I have found with Addie, especially if I don't overreact, one, she hears the information and better, and two, she understands it better. But when I am like, oh my God, what have you just, you know, then she gets all worried and more worried that I'm mad at her or upset with her, instead of processing what I'm trying to teach her.
Right.
So,
and I think
that
goes
important
with slang words too, you know, the cussing, because they're going to hear those things.
Yeah.
And eventually they're going to repeat them. And that's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
You know, we can't shelter them forever.
Yeah.
But just making them know what's appropriate, what's not, in the expectation. And I think that really kind of segues us into high school expectations, because to me, that's where those get a lot higher. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes. And on both ends, I mean, I feel like Addie set a lot higher expectations on herself. I remember very clearly that they wanted her to walk with an aide to walk with her to her gen ed classes. And she was mortified.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she
and
was.
She was like, no. And so we made a plan. I was still a little nervous, although she wasn't. I was a little nervous. And we made a plan where the aide would walk behind her, not with her.
Right.
So, and that worked well, and she needed that for about a week. And then after that, Addie went to class by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's very important to understand that if your kid is going to a different classroom and they need an aide to walk with them, that's okay too.
Yes.
And to not not set your standards based on my kid or Sarah's kid or the gen ed kid walking down the hall. Do what's best for your own kid. So if your child needs that thing, yes. needs somebody to walk with them, have them walk with them. But if they're ready to not have somebody walk with them, encourage that as well, too. So yeah, I'm a huge believer in celebrate your kids' wins and where they are. And yes. don't compare. I know it's hard, but don't compare right. to somebody else, because my best is not your best and it's not Sarah's best. So,
and I think one of our parents said it, you know, really well, you know, meet them where they're at.
Yes.
And I think that's so important to remember in high school, meet them where they're yep. at. Because not everybody is reading at a third grade level and, or above that. And not everybody is doing algebra.
Right.
Some of them might be, but not everybody is. And so meet them where they're at, figure out the supports so that they right. need them where they're at. But I want to say one thing that's so important, I think, in high school is the inclusion aspect.
And the friendships. Yep.
So you really got to work that. And the best thing I did for Kirsten was her being part of the varsity cheer squad.
Yes, and, I would agree.
I know Addie did swim mm-hmm. team. Now she had to try out and go through all the things, and so did Kirsten. But that really, really helped her. Looking back, even now, because now she's bonded and connected with those teammates. And Kirsten was in FFA, so, you know, that taught her a lot of responsibilities as well and kind of made her get outside her comfort zone of, you know, being in a barn by herself and taking care of an animal and all the responsibilities that go along with that and the prep that goes with that. So those taught her a lot of great life skills, but also, you know, connected her with friends that she would have never connected with. And I just want to point out for everybody listening, you know, Kathy's daughter went to Edmond Memorial, big high school. Kirsten's at Noble. That's a smaller than Edmond, but still a pretty large school. Some of you out there might be in smaller school districts where, you know, making friendships and being in that inclusional environment is not as difficult that
right.
that you and I have had to go through. So, you know, kind of do whatever is best for you based on your school district. But everybody's different based on, you know, the large and the small.
Right. Yeah. A lot of school districts have those buddy programs or peer mentoring.
Yeah.
A lot of the high schools, and I think I talked on this last week, was Unified Sports with Special right. Olympics. They're moving towards that. And I think that's so much better.
It is.
Because then it allows our kids with disabilities to participate in activities that they want to participate in. But then it also doesn't take away the integrity of the tryout and the, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. If a child is able to do it, they should be able to do it and they should be included in it. But if it becomes a problem or an issue, there are other avenues and there right. are other things that we should explore and that are just as beneficial and some, if not more mm-hmm. beneficial, that we should reach out to and look into and make sure that our kids are getting that.
One thing I just want to add in there is Kirsten doesn't realize she has Down syndrome. She does, but she doesn't.
I was going to say Addie totally does.
But she really doesn't. That's not like her, you know, on the thought
right.
on her back.
I see what
like,
you're saying.
Oh my gosh, I'm the kid with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And so everybody at school knows she's the kid with Down syndrome. But in her world,
right,
she's just Kirsten. And she's wanting to show her sheep,
right?
And she's wanting to okay. be in the pyramid, and she's wanting to be on the football field, and all the things. And so when she sees the limitation, she's like, "What?" So I think that's yeah. where you start to see the maturity level change for
yeah.
our kids, and their expectations of themselves change.
Yes,
because everybody else is doing it. Why can't I?
Yep, they're learning and they're independent. They become way more independent.
Yes.
And way more vocal on if they can do it, I should do it. I see what you're saying with that now. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Addie too. I mean,
she knows she has Down
right,
syndrome.
Right. Okay.
But she doesn't she doesn't see it like everybody
like
else.
It should be a disability. Yeah.
Right.
Other people see it as, yeah. oh, that poor child that has Down syndrome.
This is the color of my hair.
But yes. yeah. This is just who I am.
Yeah.
And that's the way we want everybody to look at all
right.
of our selves and kids and everybody, you know,
right.
Just like Down syndrome is just a different shade of gray or a different color of hair here, or yeah.
Right. So I think, and I think that's good for her, you know, because there's no biases. She's like, I just want to, you know, do this activity. And why can't I go? I think the one thing that I struggled with in high school is the communication. Just not knowing everything that's going on. And, you know, just kind of working with the teachers. Because Kirsten couldn't bring things, you know, there were, you don't have papers that you bring home. There's not like a folder. Yeah. They're trying to make everybody be independent. And that just doesn't work for us. And I don't know that I have found the right balance just yet. Because I'm trying to make Kirsten become more responsible for those things.
Yes.
But if y'all have any ideas, please share them. But I think, you know, you're going to have to be in constant communication with the teachers. Just to know, is there a spring dance? Is there a basketball game? Is there, you know, what's going on that she could be involved in? Well, and the academic stuff.
If you have any ideas, well, let me chime in because I do have an idea. So I remember when, because Addie's really good at that now. She didn't used to be, but she is really good at it now. And what I kind of started out as of, if you want to go to this football game, you're going to have to figure out what time it is, when it is, and all that. And the first game that she had to not be there when she wanted to be there because she didn't reply, you know, didn't.
Right.
It was a big deal. Now, I could have gotten her there on time, on the time that she wanted to be there, but I wanted her to learn, if you don't communicate this to me, you're not going to be there on time.
Right.
Or it's not going to be. And I just had to be okay with her not being places where she needed to be on time for a few times. But she's got my schedule down now and hers. I mean,
of course
she
does.
And before, she did not, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really had to work on that, of, you know, like with her swim meets. Mm-hmm. And they had to fill out the form for food every, because they had meat food. And if she didn't remind me, she was left out, you know, she had to remind me that this had to be done because it was her food. It was for her, not, you know, and I really made, slowly I introduced that, and slowly I made her responsible on, you know, certain things.
That's
and
great.
Now she does it all.
Yeah.
But there was a time that it took a while. So my recommendation is start real slow and take one thing. Mm-hmm. You're responsible for telling me X, Y, and Z, you know, just cheer, or just, you know, what time lunch is, or whatever, and then move from there. And that may help. I don't know. It helped us tremendously.
So there were a couple of incidents where, so the ag teacher and I kind of have a great relationship, and he would send things with Kirsten that, like, if we had to nominate the animals or whatever the list was, but then he would follow up and send me a text and
that's
say,
nice if
hey, I have sent this home with Kirsten, just FYI. Mm-hmm. And Kirsten usually was pretty good about, hey, Mr., you know, Linhart needs this, and she'd have it right out of her backpack. But then there were times that, you know, she'd forget, especially if it was a busy night, we didn't get home until late. So understandably so, but I really appreciated that he would always follow up with a text or an email saying, hey, I've sent this packet home and I need it back by X time. Kirsten wouldn't always remember, you know, when it was needed, but she knew, hey, this has to be completed, Mom, and you better get it back to me tomorrow.
Well, and that goes back to the relationships with your teachers and your aides and your administration. If you have good, you know, and as a parent, if you have good relationships with the you know, school, no matter who it is, they'll go that extra mile and do that extra stuff a lot of times.
And I think schools are getting better about doing these mass communications through different applications. I don't know what everybody uses, but I know that's better. So if there is like a fun activity, like a winter formal, you know, you kind of know about that, or when prom is, I know those are always big things that, Kirsten would never really know or want to go, but I would have to, you know, put those on the calendar, and then she'd be like, oh yeah, I want to go to that.
Right.
But let's talk about those things, because I am kind of leery about sending her by herself a little bit. Not because she couldn't do it. It was just overwhelming for her, and I wasn't sure if she could make the connections. Now, prom she did fine with, but some of the other activities she just obviously couldn't do. It was just too much for her.
Well, so, and I think
we just pulled
I
out.
Think that's okay.
I think so too.
And but I kind of it's sad because you, as a parent, you want them to want to do that
yes.
stuff. But sometimes I think it's okay to just say, you know what, she doesn't want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like Addie went to prom, but she did not want to go to fall ball. And I was like, why do you not want to go to fall ball? And then I started thinking, why am I making a big deal about this? This is so much more work on me. And if she doesn't want to do this, let's not.
I think the advice is just pick and choose what they want to do. Yeah. I mean, let them decide what they want
to
do.
And encourage and try. Yeah. But if it's too much or if they verbally say they don't want to go, I think it's okay to say, okay.
One thing I really try hard to do is, if she has peers that are coming to watch her participate in something, mm-hmm. we try to reciprocate that. So if, you know, Sally came to watch her, you know, do a cheer competition, then by golly, we're going to go watch Sally play volleyball. So we really tried, and I tried to reinforce that to Kirsten. Like, remember, she came to watch you, and this is why we're going to go to watch her at the game. And those things mean a lot.
Well, I think it means a lot, and it teaches how to develop yes. relationships, and how to relationships are give and go. You know, and that helps them overall become more independent, in my opinion.
I think so.
And through school, through those, you know, them having to do those extra things, those walk by themselves or navigate classrooms or go to lunch and mm-hmm. sit with their typical peers if they want to. Mm-hmm. Addie, we went round and round about that with her. They wanted them to all the special needs kids to sit together mm-hmm. because it was easier to make sure everybody was safe. And my view on that is, Addie is not always going to be in a controlled setting like that. I want to make sure she has the tools to keep herself safe. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I really pushed for her to, if she wanted to sit with the special needs kids or whoever, she could sit with whoever she wanted.
Let it be a choice.
Yes. And so we did have to go back and forth with that. We had an aide trying to get her to move back over. And Addie's like, no, my mom told me that I don't have to move. And then she made her move.
Oh,
and then
no.
The next day I said, Addie, when she's telling you to do that, you call me.
Yeah.
And so Addie called me, which is going to be an issue for this next year because there's a new policy out. I think for our kids, you can put it in their IEPs and make sure if you feel like that needs to be in their IEPs, make sure that is in their IEP that they need their phones for safety, for communication, for schoolwork, for math,
for all that
stuff would need to be in their IEPs or their 504s, whatever. It's a huge time of growth, and I really see. I see that in Addie. Like, I saw her becoming way more independent, like getting to classes, doing her homework. Mm-hmm. She would come home and do her homework on her own, which she had never done before, mm-hmm. you know. And then if she needed help, she'd come get me.
Because that's what everybody else is doing.
So, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about academics. What kind of classes did Addie take?
She did math and English mm-hmm. in the special ed classroom always. Mm-hmm. Well, not always. From about middle school up.
Yeah.
And for her, she needed that.
Right.
She needed the extra time. She needed the extra explanation. She needed that. Mm-hmm. She also needed a break from some of the gen ed classes that she did, regular science and social studies, and always did all of her electives out into the gen ed population. But she also needed a little bit of a break, and that was kind of also a break for her.
Yeah.
She could come back into that room and, you know,
process
better. And yeah.
That's kind of how Kirsten was too.
Yeah.
She loved going to ag class, and she got to walk across because it was in a separate building, so she got to walk across the street.
Yeah.
And they just modified things for her, which was great. You know, she might not be learning all about the reproductive system of a cow, but she's learning parts of the cow.
Right.
You know, when they were learning agricultural-based things or plant-based things. So there's always creative ways to modify curriculum.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT, I'm not going to lie, is pretty good at that.
It really is. And I know a big pushback has been, we're not going to modify the curriculum. And we're not asking for modifications. We're asking we're not asking for it to be modified. We're asking for accommodations.
Correct.
And so if she might not be learning every single step of the reproductive system or whatever, But the goal is she's learning what reproduction is, you know, and so you just gear the curriculum around that, right. Not around, you know, her doing less or whatever. Mm-hmm. She might not get all every concept of it, but she's still learning the concept of.
And what she might, Kirsten would pull little things out of different things. Right. Like she learned all about the presidents, but there was one that she honed in on and was telling us all about it at home. And so they kind of fixate on certain things that, right. you know, interest them. Just like anyone else. Yeah. But we kind of did the same thing. You know, she spent, you know, about a quarter of her time in the classroom for reading and math. And then she was out and about and, of course, had lunch with her peers and so on and so forth. But overall, the scheduling was not a big deal for me. I felt that everybody kind of worked together on that. And we just kind of, again, met Kirsten where she's at. The one thing, you know, the struggle with her has been getting her to read. And it just hasn't clicked. And Kirsten loves Harry Potter, like loves everything about Harry Potter. So there are Harry Potter modified books. Mm-hmm. And I just went ahead and bought them for her. The school was willing to do that. But I was like, it was $12, I think, or something. So that was one great thing that just got her engaged in reading, learning about the stories, but really kind of helped with the comprehension part. She could recite all the things that happened in the story. So that was just one way that we kind of tried to get her more engaged in reading and excited about it.
Yeah.
And then she'd reenact it, and now she's all things, you know, Harry Potter. But I know these last few years we've kind of shifted into work transition.
Yes.
And then for those that you don't know, that can start at age 14. It doesn't matter what grade level your child is in, but 14 is when you need to start be talking about work transition. And we have kind of created this transition program at Noble, and Kirsten's worked at the concession stand at the school. A lot of life lessons there, like you can't eat the honey buns while you're working. Yeah. You don't get a Dr. Pepper every day.
Or you have to pay for it.
You've got to pay for this stuff, and you cannot bring home tubs of cotton candy.
Yeah.
So still working on some of those. Yeah. But I think her working in the concession stand really helped with communication.
Huh.
She's great at money, so she was able to be like, that's a $10 bill, that's a $5 bill, and that's been really beneficial to her. And now I think they're going to throw in a POS system, so her to take card. But for right now, it was just working in the concession stand, and then they were going to the coffee shop and just volunteering there. So, and that was off-site. I don't know what it's going to look like this year, but I have asked, you know, what that her work transition is going to be for the next 3 years, and, you know, I'm sure we can craft it into whatever works best for her.
No, I agree. Addie's did work studies throughout almost, I think, all of high school. She was the football manager. She did... I think she was that for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then she did Office 8. So maybe she did it for 3 years. And she learned all kinds of skills from that, you know. And most specifically, I think her love for football. I mean, she's always loved football, but she, you know, wants to do everything that can be, you know, related to football. So she loves it, and she loves going to watch the games and loves being a super fan and all the things. But I think what I really hope everybody understands is that I think you're going to see a huge growth here in high school, and and independency will come. Mm-hmm. You just don't get discouraged when it doesn't happen all at once, because it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. And it's about the consistency of the parent, in my opinion, to keep doing the same thing, and don't give up just because something might be hard. To help your kids learn that this step might be hard, but you can do hard things. We can get through this. And then they don't have to do it the next year.
Right.
And you can explain to them, you did this for this semester, and we're going to switch to something else, but you completed it. Mm-hmm. You didn't give up. Because if we don't teach that, then they're going to learn how it's okay to just give up whenever it gets hard or rough or whatever.
And I think just switching things up is really important.
Yeah.
Things.
I agree.
That helps our individuals with change and, you know, and when things come their way. And I would just say, look for the opportunities. All of our kids can participate in extracurricular activities.
Right.
Band, sports, drama,
right.
theater, whatever. And they excel in those types of things. So get them involved. Write it in their IEP. Ask questions. Work with the teacher.
Find out what they can offer them. What are the things that you guys do? Maybe you don't know, and you think, oh, well, you know, Kirsten or Addie can do that, or, you know, whoever, kid can do this. I've just never even considered this as part of this program. So I think that's important.
And I think look for those teachers that can really connect mm-hmm. with your kids.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw them in a, you know, math class where they're not going to connect with that teacher. Find the teachers that
willing to make some extra help, a little bit of extra help or whatever. Yeah.
So I think those are the really key elements. But just to wrap it up, if I could just say communication is key. Getting involved is extremely important. And then just making sure your loved ones getting to make those choices. That's what we want. We want them to be independent and start, having their feeders out there, like, what am I going to do?
Right. And like, yeah. And make
testing
sure
the waters.
The vocational programs. Make sure you get involved in DRS to find out if your kid will be able to work someday or maybe not. And that's okay too. Maybe they're going to volunteer or maybe they're going to join, be at a day program that meets their needs.
Right.
It doesn't matter what, we just want every one of our kids, we want them to have the opportunity mm-hmm. to improve and to try these things. And so I do think high school is a great place to do that. Yep. I do think that they'll learn a lot, but you have to still, again, be an active participant.
Probably more so.
Because
there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there are a lot of moving parts. But I do think that that DRS portion is very important, and if you haven't done it, or are one of our board members is the director of DRS,
we'll have her on
she is very willing to talk or explain anything that any services that they have. Ask your school; they should all know. And if they don't, call us, and we can help you navigate through some of that. So those are just some of the things that we've seen that we think is important.
And I will just say, high school's really fun.
It is, yeah, it is.
I mean,
fun.
Just
Make
to
it fun,
see
yeah.
them, interact and engage and be a part of all of that, you make it fun for them because those are memories that they're going to have for a lifetime.
Yep.
And that's kind of the game plan I went in with Kirsten is we're going to make this fun and engaging and, get everything out of it that we can.
Right.
And that's kind of what we did.
And remember, this isn't about you as the parent. Like, if I had chosen, Addie would not have done swim. I've never been a swimmer. I don't know anything about swim. I do now, but I hadn't. She loved the sport. She was good at the mm-hmm. sport. So I had to learn about it.
Yeah.
If I had the choice, Addie probably would not have gone to college because I didn't see it as something necessary. Addie
wants to
go to college. So I'm letting her lead the way. I'm letting her do the things that she wants to do. You might have to push them in some ways or encourage them in some ways, but I think you'll get a better response from your kid, your loved one if you let them lead the way and you let them, Kirsten loved cheer.
And if you see their successes,
yes,
like it's so great. I mean, do you think I want to be shearing sheep in 100 degree weather? No, thank you. But this is what she wants to do, and we do it. And again, they can do hard things, and we can do hard things. So we're kind of in this together. But she, just to see her flourish and grow and be an active participant has been an amazing experience.
Yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Same.
So, I guess we're going to wrap this up, and don't forget, this is where advocacy really kind of hits the road, and we would love to hear from you, and, send us your questions. We know that there's a lot of challenges, but so many opportunities to grow and connect and celebrate all of the amazing things that our teens do.
And speaking of celebrations, don't forget our 5K Down Syndrome Festival and 5K is coming up. What was September 27th?
Yes, Saturday.
It's at the Myriad Gardens. There's going to be music, fun, all kinds of vendors. And of course, there's a 5K. There's a one mile fun run. And
a
awareness walk. So any of that, you can participate in any of it, all of it, whatever you think you want to do. If you haven't signed up a family team, go ahead and sign your family team up, please.
And we'll be unveiling our t-shirt soon. So stay tuned to our social media for that. And they're super cute this year, I have to say. But register now at dsfestivalin5k.com and really be a part of something special within our community here in Oklahoma. You really don't want to miss it. So thanks for listening to DASCO Up for Discussion. Make sure you're following us on social media at DSACO underscore org on Instagram and DSA Central Oklahoma on Facebook, to stay updated for all the ways you can get involved and support our amazing community.
We will see you next time. And until then, keep advocating, keep connecting, and keep believing in what is possible for our loved one and your loved one.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.